Hey everyone, Brian Beeler here, and welcome to the Storage View podcast. Now today we're doing something a little bit different. We've got a very special guest from Teradici, and because the focus is a little bit more on remote workforce, end user computing, some of these dynamics that we've pretty much all gotten used to over the past year and a half, I wanted to bring in someone very special to take over the podcast today and run it on my behalf, someone who knows more about this stuff than most other people around. Our friend and yours, Tom Fenton. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on today. Appreciate it.
I'm not sure what you're about to do here. I'm sure it'll be somewhere between a dumpster fire and glorious, so I'm sorry to subject our audience to this, but we'll see how it goes. But look, I mean, you and I have been working together for a number of years. You've been working on a ton of end-user computing reviews for us, which includes thin clients, amongst other things, the micro NUC devices, all sorts of other stuff. And then we have things like this, which looks like a monitor sitting on the desk, but is very much not just a monitor. This is the latest from LG's all-in-one thin client group. These thin clients these days are amazing.
Yeah, they really are. We just got done reviewing the one they had for it was specifically designed for the healthcare market, and we were pretty impressed with it. I mean, the build quality was fantastic. I mean, just some of the design considerations that went into it to make it work extremely well for healthcare applications, all white, mm-hmm. so you can see if it has any dust on it, things like that. The bayonet type adapter, so the power cord doesn't get yanked out of it when it's in a high stress hospital environment. So I know that one went really well, and excited to get our hands on this this new one as well.
Well, so I mean, this thing's pretty sick, and if you think about enabling remote workforces, dropping this off at someone at their desk if they're in the office, then so be it, or their desk if they're at home. I mean, you've got a widescreen experience. You can easily get two windows up on this thing, and it's all one unit, one plug. I mean, it's dead simple. Now, we don't want to get into all of the ins and outs of the LG system today. We will do that in a future video. But I'm just setting the tone for what is a modern remote workforce computing environment look like, and the thin client or endpoints is a big part of that.
Yeah, and I guess I kind of, killed the lead there, is that the monitor, you know, air quotes, that you're looking at, it really isn't a monitor because it does have a processor in it, and it acts as a VDI client. It runs, you know, IGL Teradici software on it, so you can remote desktops into it.
All right, so let's bring in our third component of this wonderful podcast wheel, and that's Mirella Cugnolo from Teradici. Mirella, thanks for coming in with us.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Yeah, so this is exciting. We're going to talk about transport. We're going to talk about the state of end-user computing. And let me get out of the way. And Tom, this is your show. Take over, buddy.
This is my attempt at a coup d'etat. Fantastic. So Mirella, I'm going to get a little superficial here, but last year we saw this heroic effort to enable our employees to work remotely. You know, we saw this unprecedented migration from people working in the office to working remotely. I'm in the U.S. I think you're up in Canada, in BC, correct?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had like a, you know, actually just a couple days to have these people work remotely. And your company, Teradici, is one of the leaders in the field that enabled this effort. So congratulations on that. And I sure would like to probe into some of the things that you did to make this, you know, unprecedented thing happen. That sound good?
Sounds great.
So I've actually been working with Teradici. I was at VMware when Teradici first came in and enabled Horizon for it, so I'm fairly familiar with it. But would you mind just spending a few minutes giving a little background on Teradici, what you guys do, a little bit about your company?
Absolutely, sure. Teradici, we develop a remote desktop solution. Remote desktop solutions probably is the better way to describe it. So accessing your desktop that's running somewhere else remotely from home, from another office while traveling. That's really what we do. And historically, we started out doing this exact thing in hardware. some of our customers, some of our partners know us as that, because we did hardware on the client side, hardware on the remote desktop side. And then since then, we've developed a software version of the same thing. In the middle, you said you worked for VMware. VMware, big partner of ours, built in our technology into it, our protocol that we developed called PCORIP. And yeah, we worked with OEMs like VMware for a long time. And then about a few years ago, we developed a version that's a Teradici solution for remote desktop. So not hardware, not an OEM solution, but Teradici software solution. That's called Teradici CAS, or it stands for Cloud Access Software. So that's the main solution that we are offering today. And that played a big part in the COVID migration from work to home.
Yeah, and you guys are somewhat agnostic. You just don't work with Horizon. You work with, I think you guys actually even work with like Amazon Workspaces and things like that. Can you talk just about some of the other relationships you have with some of the other vendors?
Yeah, absolutely. So the software Teradici CAS, that's very flexible. It's designed to be flexible. So it can run really anywhere. It can run on an ESXi hypervisor. It can run on a KVM hypervisor. So virtualized that way. It can run in public clouds. So these are all our partners, like the big three, Google, Amazon, and Azure, Microsoft Azure. It runs on all three of those. We have marketplace offerings on those for really quick remote desktop. That was important during COVID. And also on premises, there's lots of, I mentioned the virtualized way with the hypervisor, but also standalone machines. So if you have a workstation and it's not been virtualized, there is no hypervisor, you can also run it on there. So we work with a lot of different technology partners to essentially provide as much flexibility as possible for someone to be able to remote their desktop.
Right, and you guys still offer your—I believe you still offer your hardware product, and you know a little bit more performant things like that. But you also offer it as a software, so people who did have to work from home, they were able to use you know iGel there or whatever you know the clients and use that as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. The hardware offer, yeah, the hardware client, hardware, it's called Remote Workstation Card on the host side, Zero Client, Tera 2 Zero Client on the client side. Yeah, those are still available. Lots of people still use them. But I will say that the software solution has now surpassed the hardware solution when it comes to, first of all, flexibility running in the cloud and all that, but also performance. We've introduced PCIe Ultra, so an updated version of our protocol a couple of years ago, and that allowed us to do much higher frame rates, at higher resolutions that hardware isn't able to keep up with.
Yeah, I know back in the day that the processors they just couldn't process all the compression, all the build from lossless stuff that you guys are doing. But now I think that the hardware has caught up with the things you wanted to do. Could you just kind of hit on some of the technologies that you do? You know, build from lossless, the compression, the retransmits. I think yeah, things like that. You do,
Yeah.
do you, yeah.
Yeah, of course, I can do that. So a few things that are very unique, I would say, to our protocol. Built to lossless, the first one you mentioned. In general, since we started developing this technology, our target has always been the most difficult use cases, graphics intensive use cases, customers that work with 3D graphics. They are very sensitive to color, very sensitive to really good interactivity, really good smooth. If you're looking at a 3D object, you're able to smoothly turn it around. I could play back video at high frame rates. All of that are problems that we wanted to address from beginning. And some of those use cases very much care about color, that the color is really accurate. That you really can't tell the difference between having a workstation right under your desk and looking at, I don't know, Maya or Premiere, Adobe Premiere locally versus remotely. And that's what we offer. The built to lossless feature within the protocol is, first of all, the color itself, color accuracy is just built into the protocol. Build to lossless is exactly what it says. It builds to lossless. So the local, if you look at that image locally versus remotely, it's exactly the same because we've built to lossless. So that's a main area of what we offer. So quality and user experience has always been our main focus since day one, and we just continue to build on that as the industry, you know, evolves. Outside of that, there is a lot of focus on security. That's a big one for PCRP protocol itself, how it's encrypted, how it's transmitted, AES-256 encryption. You earlier talked about our hardware, our zero clients, tier 2 zero clients are, there's no application OS in there. You don't have to worry about, someone putting a virus on there because there's no application OS on there at all. If somebody steals it, if somebody steals a laptop and there's nothing on it, the only thing they're doing is remotely accessing the desktop. There's nothing on it in terms of the data. So that's the security aspect of the protocol is really important. And then also the way we handle networking, we automatically adjust to changing network conditions. So this was actually quite important during COVID. Anytime really, but during COVID, when everybody's going home, everybody has different environments, different, at home, different, especially if a virtual machine is being shared. So you have one user connecting to it and they have, they're in the office. They could be in the office with one guy, or another person is at home sharing their internet with their 5 kids. And they both need to be able to work well. And what PCRP protocol does, it automatically adjusts basically. So whatever available bandwidth you've got, it will adjust to that. There's lots of options in there to customize and configure for your exact environment. But in general, the default works really well. And that's it's really a usability benefit for someone who's running our technology.
Right. Yeah. And the, adjustability and the, for example, build from lossless, people who aren't familiar with the lossless thing is the initial image just might be a little bit fuzzy because not all the pixels are coming over. And that's fine if you're kind of scrolling through web pages, just kind of looking at information real quick. And then when you stop, it'll, build out the whole image. And by the way, by a little bit fuzzy, I mean it's hardly recognizable when it initially shows up, but then it gets crystal clear. And I know you guys are big into the healthcare and actually video media and entertainment, where you're looking at a lot of information, and the Wi-Fi. I've been working from home for the past 15 years, and all of a sudden my wife started working from home and my kids came and they were using the internet, and all of a sudden my Wi-Fi just got swamped. And so you do need that adaptability and things like that, and that's something you guys do automatically, so most people won't even even recognize it. But in some situations you need that, that absolutely lossless, if medical lossless, and so you can set up parameters to adjust so it'll only show lossless, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's an option to select if you really need lossless. A big one actually for that is media entertainment.
Yeah, by the way, congratulations! You guys won a Emmy, or was it an Oscar? What'd you guys win? You won something?
It's an Emmy. It's an engineering Emmy. If you didn't know that existed, it exists. These exist. It's not just for actors and actresses. It was for enabling essentially content creators to be able to work remotely. And we won it last year. So it was tied to everyone having to go home and not being able to, finish off their projects, movies, the content they were creating. And so with our technology, they were enabled to do that. And that's how we won it.
So if I ever make it up to BC, can I, get a photo with the Emmy here? Or did one of the founders kind of take it and, just use it as a book stop or a door stop at their house? Oh, yeah, that's just the Emmy we got, just book.
Yes, I got a chance to hold it. It's really heavy. And it's actually quite big.
Is it really? Is it solid gold?
Yes, solid gold diamonds inside. Yes.
So talking about media and entertainment, we had all these content creators who used to have, I mean, be within, you know, 2 feet of their computers with the GPUs and with the data storage right there. And then when they had to work from home, that just wasn't an option. You can't take these servers or, you know, and move them home. So do you have any good stories around that?
Yeah, lots. It's funny. You know, people who were when that happened, people who were familiar with our technology or were actually using it, it was like just like Teredici ourselves. When our province said, okay, you know, shut down, we all just went home the next day and we all just connected into our remote desktops, and that was it. It literally was one day. Because that's how we run every day. And it didn't really, you know, we were in the office normally. And in the office, you just remotely access the desktop that's in the data center. And at home, you're just doing it from home into that data center. So that really was super easy for us. And lots of our customers had that same experience. They were already doing it. Now they just went home and they had to use, you know, there's always been struggles with, you know, you go from a managed environment at home and in the office where you have a thin client, like you talked earlier about thin clients, you know, purpose-built clients, and now you're moving to home and all these users have all this variety of hardware that they're using, all kinds of laptops. So that's some of our customers had some fun times with that, trying to get, you know, users to get them going, to understand what they're running. You know, I'm running you know, a Mac client, but it's actually iPad. You know, these are important when IT really doesn't have access to manage them, but that worked itself out. But the ones that weren't customers, the first thing they tried, which is I think you were alluding to, is to just take that hardware home, to just lift that. And since I mentioned we work a lot with graphics intensive customers, who have a lot of data, who have a lot of work, very heavy hardware, GPUs, expensive hardware, they were taking that home. And now you have your kitchen table with a giant machine on it, and the family members aren't happy.
Oh, and then you have a heat wave, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's
GPU just spewing all sorts of heat out. Yeah, and then accessing the data, right? You aren't going to take, you know, petabytes of data and move it home and to try and to get the you know, VPN to access that.
And people were doing that. They were, they had this hardware and they were downloading this data, which is not secure at all. You know, leakage of the content they're working on. And it just takes forever to actually, like you say, or VPN takes forever to download it. So, you know, the ones that weren't customers, they realize, okay, they need to find a better solution. So that's remoting technologies like ours really made a huge difference. You can take that hardware, put it back in the office and just have a lightweight client to access it. You're not downloading any information on that client. It's all in data centers. The security, I would say, speaking of, you know, data and all that, I would say security was the biggest thing that everybody was concerned about.
Yep. I remember, like I said, back I was with VMware when they first, you know, developed View Horizon, and we kind of sold it on cost basis, but really when it started to take off was business continuity and security, right? And having that client. So kind of going back here a bit. So you have these people working from home. Again, you have the software client. So they didn't really, you didn't need to ship them out a piece of hardware or anything. You just, you know, shipped them out the client. They attached to it and they were up and running, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So media and entertainment. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just gonna add one important part was also that you ship that home and now you have to have secure access to that desktop. And what's a secure access? I mean, VPN is one way to go, and VPN is expensive. And you know, what's the throughput? Difficult to set up. People who didn't have it. So remoting, like our technology, and others have some concept of that is something called a brokerware, where you are brokering the user from their machine to this remote desktop securely. It goes through a gateway, which in our case, security gateway. So you don't need a VPN. So it simplifies that whole thing about having to set that up. VPNs can impact performance, and this bypasses that negative impact of performance. And also MFA, multi-factor authentication, was really important for everyone. When you're at home, you know, you're gonna have extra, you have to be extra diligent how people are accessing and who's accessing. And so that part of authentication, authorization, that was a big part people had to figure out. And our solution had that solved already. So that was an easier way for them to move away from.
Yep, absolutely. And I feel we've kind of been talking a lot about on-premise desktops, but you guys don't care, right? You guys work as well with the public cloud as you do with, you know, on-premise implementations. Do you have any feeling over this transition that we've gone through? Are more companies going to desktops as a service, desktops based in the clouds versus, you know, desktops on-premise? Do you have any kind of feel for that?
Yeah, I do. For us, for sure, that I think I'm going to have to say before BC, before COVID, and after COVID, because I think it changed after COVID. But before COVID, I mean, in general, there's still more customers on premises that we see than public clouds. Private clouds are very common. So it's someone running their own data center that could be somewhere centralized somewhere, and their, you know, other offices access that. So that's pretty common. But a public cloud was definitely growing, but we've seen it mostly with smaller companies, or if it's larger companies for particular projects or project that needs quick setup, quick growth. You know, they have to quickly add a bunch of hardware, a bunch of desktop, a bunch of storage because they're hiring a bunch of people. This is very true for media entertainment industry where they, you know, they're the size of their size depends on how many projects they got going on and how big the project is. So they have to be able to grow really fast and shrink really fast. So that's where public cloud helps a lot. And we saw a lot usage of the public cloud that way. So yeah, and after COVID, it's funny, everybody had to get up and leave. And so whatever hardware they had in the office, that hardware, instead of not using it at all, they just put our software on it and they accessed it. So there was a lot of on-prem use because it was hardware they already had. So they were just utilizing it. But since then, it's mostly hybrid. People are, seeing the value of cloud. There's lots of benefits of public cloud, and we can go into that if you like. But there's benefits on-prem too. You already own the hardware. If you have set number of users, they're always there, always working there. It's just more cost efficient, but it's not as flexible. So it's the hybrid scenario that's happening a lot more now, where it's both. You see, you have on-prem, you have public cloud, a mix of those, and then public cloud grown. That's what I've been seeing.
Yeah, and I know all the big guys, VMware, Citrix, they're definitely supporting the hybrid where they don't care where the virtual desktop virtually resides. Then they're just offering the broker and they'll attach to whichever makes business sense for them. And I think maybe as servers come off lease and they naturally, aspire, maybe they'll kind of float more towards the cloud. But in other cases where they have, extremely sensitive data or data that's governed by, either corporate policy or governmental policy that they need to keep a little bit tighter handle on, that'll be on-premise forever, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we work a lot with government type customers, and for them, dark sites and things like that, it's just on-prem. But even in that area, public cloud is becoming more and more interesting because these public clouds have gov clouds. They have a segment of the public cloud that's meant for highly securely security conscious to customers like governments, military and all that. So it's even those type of customers are more like, as long as they're utilizing, you know, it's not for all projects. So then there's always going to be need for both, I think.
Yeah. And like you were saying before, the flexibility of projects, I know when they do a new movie, they do a lot of rendering. They bring in a lot of temporary help, contractor help to spin that up. And obviously they you know, want to be able to do that effectively, but they need to do it securely. They don't want these movies hitting the internet before they hit the theater, right?
Right, exactly, yes.
Yeah, and Teradici, you can lock down the device so it prevents accidents like that from happening, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's, as I said, the security was really number one reason why. I mean, it's in the media entertainment industry, there's the TPN, trusted what is it now? Trusted customer network, something like that, where they have policies and rules how to ensure that the content is developed in a secure manner, and trusted partner network. That's what it was. Trusted partner network. So that's really important for that industry. And, you know, remoting technology like Teradici has plays a big part in that, because you don't download any information on your laptop. So if it gets stolen, no big deal. There's nothing on it.
Right. And don't put anything. And the entire stream is encrypted. So even if you're going over public Wi-Fi, whatever, so what, you can tap that and it's going to give you absolutely zero information.
Yeah.
Unified communication, another big thing that we got from working from home. I know you guys are doing some interesting stuff with that. Would you like to just kind of hit on that?
Yeah, with Teradici CAS, we didn't support webcams. We didn't support Microsoft Teams, Zoom, et cetera, as part of Teradici CAS product line. So over the last, I mean, before COVID, we were planning to work on this. And then with COVID, obviously, you have to. We now in about 3 weeks, we're going to have a release that will support webcams. So it's been in technical preview for about 6 months. So we have customers using it, but GA, general availability, is in 3 weeks. So that means someone can bridge, basically, you know, instead of running the, let's say, Microsoft Teams or something in their laptop, they run it in the remote desktop and use the camera that way. So it's some companies really mandate that every app to do with the company has to be in a remote desktop and nothing can be on that BYOD device. Some want this kind of stuff on the BYOD. So it depends who you are, but now we enable it. So in the remote desktop, so it's a pretty big deal. So you can use it with Teams, Zoom, any of these conference related tools, as long as you run in the remote desktop.
Yeah, I guess I jumped the gun there. I was talking to some people who have used, I guess, their preview. I didn't realize they're in preview, and they were really impressed with it. And I assumed it was GA. So I'm sorry if I made you disclose any corporate secrets there. We're also hearing about digital workspace experience. I think that's kind of the new buzzword, you know, where they do it. And I know you guys have some great tools for monitoring and making sure that people have that consistent experience. I'd like to talk about that for just a second.
For monitoring your user experience and all that, like that. So we have some of that. We have tools for administrators to look at, you know, bandwidth, to look at what's the latency and things like that, to track what's going on. But there's also a lot more we want to do. And this is a bit of a roadmap thing, so I won't go into too much detail, but there is, with our broker, we have a broker, it's called CAS Manager. And in it, we have some of this information in it, like being able to see how many sessions are happening. That's another one that users, administrators want to see, not just how's the performance of a session, but also how many sessions are running, who is connected to what, through what gateway, information like that they want to know. And we have some of that right now over the last few months built into our broker, and there's a lot more that we want to do in this area.
Yeah, and I think you've always had APIs, so third-party tools can monitor it, and yes. That people can get that information and display it, and you know, make sure everything's running good for them.
Yeah, session statistics information. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Let's see. So, without getting you any trouble here, anything new and exciting? I've heard rumors again. Maybe we can't talk about that. Is there anything you can share with our audience that's coming up here?
Yeah, definitely. A few things. One, I mean, we already talked about webcam, which is good.
I tried one, that out of you. I didn't mean to do that, but thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
So let's pry another secret out of you. Yeah.
You want to know the names of my children? Yes. in general, this is good for everyone to know. We're pretty open with our tech previews. In general, we work on something. We have a whole page for tech previews, and if anyone goes there, they can see probably there's 5 going on right now for different topics. The webcam's in there, so you can find it. It's not hidden. And there's others like that. There's some that are super prior, not ready yet for go time, but there's several there that we in general want to work very closely with our customers, and that tech previews are really good for that. So that's that part of it. But what else are we working on? A big one is being able to remote Max. So today we can.
Wait, Max. So this is huge for the creative people, right?
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah,
it's absolutely huge. You're right.
Wait, so you're displaying the Mac remotely, right? Just like we do with Windows systems now.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's really it. That's the simplest way to say it. That's it. So we've been done Windows Linux for a very long time, and over the last few months. We've been working on the same thing for Mac, and we're currently in beta. So anyone who would like to try it out, we have a landing page. Oh, goodness, what is it now? Probably 30.com/macOS, I'm guessing right now. Something like that. We have a public beta. It's not public. You can sign up, and then you get access after. The whole goal of doing it is customer demand. I mean, customers. Because we work a lot with creatives, like you say, and these graphics intensive customers, but a lot of them are creatives, and this is what they use. And it was a customer driven decision to do that. The beta has been going really well, really good feedback. Since our focus is all about performance and how good it is. Basically, our goal is always that you forget you're on a remote desktop. That's how it should feel. That it's not, you can't tell that you're remote. You forget and you think you're local, but you're not. That's our goal, and that's what we did with Mac as well.
Yeah, and that has to be just not only technically challenging because, I mean, Mac OS always pushed the boundaries on the hardware, but they're also a very closed company. I mean, it's like pulling teeth to get in some. So, wow, that's congratulations. You know, you were able to kind of build up that relationship with them and get that happening. That's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. It's been like the feedback from customers has been really good, and we're really excited to launch it officially. And it's official general availability is very soon, actually. It's July 20th. Okay. I'll share the exact date today. It could be 20th, 21st or so. It's end of July timeframe. We're pretty strict with our dates, so I didn't expect it's going to be around that. But yeah, it's okay. Coming out very soon.
Oh, that's great. And so they'll be able to use any device that works with the client now to see those, right?
Yeah. So we have a list of what hardware. Newer hardware is best. Like not something that's 2013. That's not recommended at all. newer hardware, which ones like Mac Pro, MacBook Pro, Mac Mini, really a large range of type of hardware that can be remoted. And what's really important is what version of the OS it is. It has to be Catalina Plus, so Catalina Big Sur, Monterey soon, I'm sure. So that's the OS is important.
All right, fantastic. I kind of ran through my list of questions here. Anything else you want to share before we kind of wrap up and bring what's-his-name back on, Brian, back onto the call?
What's-his-name?
See if I did a coup d'etat here and actually displaced him.
Not specific. I mean, you were asking what else we're working on or we've done recently. A webcam was a big one. I keep going back to performance because it's such an important thing for us. Really, everybody benefits from it. Anyone from a knowledge worker to a highly graphics intensive user. But this year, there's a lot more coming around performance, around these creatives and how they work and how they work with each other. And so I can't go into too much detail, but there's so much more coming after the macOS launch. Towards the end of Q4 of this year, that we're really excited about, that all these creators will benefit from. Actually, anybody, like I said, CAD workers, knowledge workers, everyone. And with it, we hope to, to also, the one thing I wanted to mention also was that our client side of Mac and how we connect to Mac has been improved quite a bit. You know, how you connect to Mac is very different from how you connect to Windows. And so our Mac clients, there's been lots of work on our Mac clients, and there's more of that coming in the next few months. Just the way the user interacts, just usability around that. And that's we've been wanting to augment that last year, and a lot of that is coming now this year, just perfect timing with the macOS agent. So wanted to highlight that too.
So one final thing here before I turn it back over to Brian. This COVID, it's horrible, thing, but the input from your end user, I imagine, totally expanded not only the number, but the different use cases and types of users. So have you just been getting a lot of feedback from them, the users, about what they'd like to see and just a lot of information like that now that we've just, have this forced migration?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of the flexibility we've added was because of that feedback, like being able to, we've had flexibility from the way it's designed, but being able to do these consumer GPUs, consumer needed GPUs, for example, we didn't support that before. And that was a big customer-driven COVID thing because they normally were running those in the office and now they needed a remote. And we didn't have that. So that was a new thing we added just purely based on that. And game development as a vertical, as an industry, has spiked significantly during COVID. And so these consumer GPUs play a big part of that. So that's been very driven by customers. But just in general, this whole product that Ricci has, especially for the creatives, especially for the media entertainment industry, visual effects, video editorial, is very driven by customers. We have some amazing customers that work very closely with us from very early on, so we develop exactly what they want when it comes out.
I know you've always been very responsive to your customer base, but now you have even more and a more variety of them. So, wow, that's fantastic stuff. All right, Brian, do you want to come back on and close this up?
Well, I think that was a great conversation. The Mac piece is really interesting, so I'm looking forward to checking that out. And you didn't actually break the podcast, so all things considered, you did all right today.
Well, thank you, and great guest today. I mean, usually we get to stump the guest just a little bit, but pried secrets out of her, so I'd consider this a success. Heck yeah.
I think so too. Brunella, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate your insights and learning more about what Dici's got going on. Tom, thanks for jumping in and covering off. I appreciate both you guys being part of this today.
Good. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.